And, you know, I think there was a safeguard in the old covenant against false prophecy and that prophets. And that was, if you prophesied something in the name of God and it proved not to be true, you were to be stoned. And we don't have that in today's culture. We don't have a way of holding one another accountable to speaking what is truly from God. And that's, it's almost like people going on Twitter and Facebook, and they just feel free to say whatever they want because there's no accountability. And I think that's one of the differences between Old Covenant and New. And so when we move into prophesying words of warning, people say things out there that likely are not from God. And then there are some that do say things that are from God. And how do we discern?
This is the Holy Wit Podcast, a place where we take a deep dive off the pulpit and into the muddy waters of everyday living. A place where you will hear real life stories from regular everyday people who are trying to follow the basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Let's remove the fluff and the mask and talk about the things most people avoid. And today we are offering another response to a podcast we found interesting called Heaven Bent by Tara Jean Stevens. This is a bonus discussion around prophecy because there appears to be a debate over what it is and what it is not. And it's divided this gift into two parts, the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophet. This gift of prophecy is very near and dear to my heart, which is the main reason why I chose to devote a second segment to further unpack what it is, in contrast to how it has been taught, used in the church, and perhaps how it has been perceived by people on the outside. To bring this to you, I invited a good friend of Cam, Pastor Kervin Rogust, to share his knowledge and experience of the prophetic gift. He will talk about the right approach to prophecy, how prophecy is or should be taught today, how to grow and mature in this gift, and why we have difficulty with tough love. He even speaks a little bit about Sean Bowles and Bethel. I know I always learn a thing or two or ten from Kervin, and I hope you will too.
The question that we're facing in our church culture today in this age is what is the right approach between the old covenant way of prophecy and the new covenant way of prophecy. And the idea is that it isn't meant to be divided. It isn't meant to be obsolete, the approach that the prophets in the old covenant used. However, I see when I look into the scriptures that something shifted when Jesus came into this world. And I'll just use a scripture out of Hebrews 11 that helps us understand that a little better. Hebrews 11:1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So there is something happened when Jesus came into this world in terms of how God wants to and will communicate to his people. So in the Old Covenant, the prophets played a prominent role in being God's voice to the people because the Spirit of God visited individuals. He didn't inhabit them. And that's one difference when we see in the New Covenant. So I'll come to that in a minute. But in the Old Covenant, God's Spirit visited select people. And the prophets in the Old Covenant were the select people. There were others, of course. But they gave voice to the mind and heart and will of God. In the New Covenant, it seems that God's approach to communicating with us shifted to the Spirit of God inhabiting every follower of Christ, and therefore the gift of prophecy became available to every human being. And so that now introduces a different set of standards and expectations, maybe accountabilities, if we want to use that word, on the New Covenant church, an expression of the church right up until today. In the Old Covenant, if they gave a prophetic word and it was off, it wasn't of God, the people had permission to stone the prophets. In the New Covenant, we don't have that. We don't have that clear sense of accountability on individuals. And therefore, individuals feel the freedom, I think, at times to say whatever God wants them to say. No, not God. People feel the freedom to just say whatever they think God gave them. And they sometimes cloak it under, you know, God told me, God gave this to me. And I think that's what's dangerous and different in the New Covenant church.
Now, in the church, a lot of us taught is New Testament prophecy has to be encouraging. It has to line up with the nature and character of God and has to align with Scripture. And you know, those are the kind of the three.
Yeah, the texts.
And it can't be new information, right? It can't be the first time you're hearing from God on that. And we take it to wise counsel and test it. I think there's a few ways to do that. But, you know, the big thing that I think a lot of people focus on, I've seen, is the encouraging part. So it becomes
only. Exclusively. Right.
Yeah. So what happens when it's not an encouraging word?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you made that point last time we talked that, and maybe you can talk a bit more on that, is, you know, prophecy is to strengthen the church, encourage the church. Mm-hmm. And you brought up that whole point about strengthening.
The New Testament certainly does have teaching about the prophetic. And we need to hold fast to that teaching and understand, how does the Holy Spirit want us to apply it in our age, the culture that we live in? And that means there's some flexibility and freedom in that. So the church that's in Canada maybe more the conservative fundamentalist churches that are moving into the prophetic, they're going to apply the teaching on the prophetic a little bit different than we might witness in a church, say, in Nairobi, Africa. And all of that. So I think that's one of the beautiful things about God. He's such a creator, and he does like to see new things, fresh things, provided that they are not violating the graphe word of God, which is the written word, the logos word of God, which is Jesus' life, and the rhema word of God, which is the word, the fresh word of the Holy Spirit. And I grew up in a world where, church world, where there was no talk or discussion about the rhema word of the Holy Spirit. And we focused, 99% of our focus was on the graphe, the written word. And so we don't have a complete understanding of how God wants to interact with us and specifically to communicate with us. And without looking at and considering all three ways in which God communicates, we'll never have a mature understanding or expression of the presence of God in our lives, which includes speaking prophetic words and living out prophetic words with our lives.
I have witnessed a flawed expression of the prophetic gifting within the church. I go so far as to say that this gifting is often abused. Why do I say that? As Kirvin mentioned earlier, most people believe that prophecy is exclusively encouraging. This is true in how it is commonly taught. Let me remind you of an excerpt taken from a course that teaches on prophecy that I had mentioned last week. It says, "A common question is, how do I know if it is my voice or Holy Spirit's voice? If it is your voice and what you received is in line with the Bible and with the character of God, then at least you are encouraging yourself in 100% of your power." End of quote. The stumbling point within this teaching is that it comes across as only encouraging words are from God. Why is a word of strengthening or a word of warning not accepted as encouragement? Because it makes us feel bad about ourselves. And if we feel bad about ourselves, that word cannot be from God. If that's the case, the teaching instructs us to not accept that word. We have full permission to forget about it. When I read Revelation chapters 2 to 3, I look at what God had to say to the seven churches. I see what the prophetic voice is to sound like. Yes, God expressed what these churches were doing right, and that's great and fantastic. God also expressed where they were messing it up, what they were doing wrong. Now, according to today's popular teaching, the words spoken about messing it up are to be ignored because it's hard to hear and it doesn't leave us feeling all warm and fuzzy inside. Here's the thing that is missed. God's grace shines in the correction because He extended the opportunity to repent. That's mercy. That's grace. That is the heart of God. These kind of words should be encouraging because God is giving us time to repent. He's given us time to grow. He's giving us time to mature. At least that's how I see it. Kirvin is going to share with you how he sees the flaw in the prophetic expression by today's standards.
To me, the primary scripture that speaks to us about how the prophetic is supposed to function is found in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4. And in that particular passage, Paul talks about edification. And he says the gift of prophecy, desire the spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. Well, why does he say that? Because he believes that the Church of Jesus Christ is to be known as a place of where you can be edified, where you can be built up, where you can be, and he uses these three words, encouraged, strengthened, and comfort. Well, all of us know people all around us, inside and outside the church, that are hungering for that. They want encouragement. They need it. They need to be strengthened in their inner person, and they need to be comforted because life is just plain hard at times. So it's easy to give an encouraging word, and it's easy to give a comforting word. It's not always easy to give a word that strengthens. The Greek word for strengthen there is exhort. To exhort one another is to call one another up. Call us up to a higher level of behavior, a higher level of, or a more mature level of attitude and behavior, a more mature way of thinking, a more mature way of relating to one another, a more mature way of taking care of our bodies and obeying God with our bodies, and of course, maturity in our spiritual lives. And sometimes that takes a word that we might call a tough love word. And that's where the flaw is, I think, in the expression of the prophetic in some of our churches. We don't well receive words that have tough love attached to them, or words of warning, or words of exhortation. Yeah. But it's a big thing, Cam. When you think about how the prophetic gives expression today, I think that the conservative, fundamentalist, evangelical churches, one of the strengths that they do bring is that they have been so committed to the graphe word of God, to growing and under there. So there is a depth that, inside these churches that if they'll get past their hang-ups about the prophetic will have opportunity to become strong and vibrant in and through those churches. And I believe as end times creep up on us, times like we're in, tough times, mm-hmm. the church has opportunity to rise up and be the prophetic voice of God in today's culture. And I'm praying that we will get there. And I feel that if I were to receive a word of warning to deliver, and I knew that I need to do that, I would run it past people like you, Cam. Mm-hmm. People that I trust, people that are mature, So Graham uses the cook uses the concept that a word of prophecy that's just spoken, like if I were to speak it out right now, that is a, he actually says that's an immature expression of the prophetic. Mm-hmm. The mature expression of the prophetic is when you receive a word for someone and you turn it into a crafted prophetic word, which means you've taken time to think. It's like what you did. You've taken time to think about it. You've written it down. You might pass that on to some trusted people to say, give me some feedback on this. Mm-hmm. And then you go through a second draft or a third draft, whatever. Yeah. And I think that that is one sure way to guard against a word, because I could do this. I could receive a prophetic word from Jesus and I could give it in a harsh way. And I don't believe that's the way Jesus would want us to do it. Because remember, he was a friend of sinners and he loved people. So I think there's a tone that we have to be mindful of when we give the words a warning. And the tone can get right when we run it by other people.
I think testing is key whenever there's a word given to us. And also, there's a testing too when we're given a word for somebody else. Like Kirvin was talking about, the maturity of the prophetic is when we're given a word, we don't go just speak it out right away. We need to take it and we need to test it as well. And we need to cultivate that word before we give it, and not just recklessly give it out there. Kirvin's talking about accountability. And I think a lot of times in our modern church, I think the majority of the evangelical church shies away from prophecy or from the prophetic because they don't see accountability in there, like Kirvin was talking about. We don't have a way of holding, first of all, those who are given the prophetic word accountable. Because too often they'll say, well, God told me this. You know, God said this to me for you. And it's pretty tough to come back and say, well, no, God didn't say that. And I think a lot of times that accountability has to be developed within a community of others who operate in the prophetic and who are mature in the prophetic as well. And hold the prophetic in a balanced way where it's not all just encouraging words or all just, you know, exhortation, words of exhortation or challenge, but it's a combination of both. And I think that there's accountability in that. Because too often when stuff is just given out, you know, Bethel does this and they're taught the prophetic and then they say, go out and practice it. A lot of times people, they'll go out and just find somebody and say, oh, I hear God tell me this for you. And that to me is a reckless treatment of the prophetic. Yeah, you need to practice it. But it has to be practiced in a place where it can be cultivated and developed. And that's why, you know, we say this has to be done, lived, practiced, and refined in community.
And to your point, Cam, it's true. We're anxious to practice the prophetic. We're anxious to see if what we're hearing from God is accurate. But to go out and practice on strangers is damaging, because we got to be so careful about how we are being perceived by those on the outside. There's critics inside the church and outside the church. And when we have, you know, and not we have, but sometimes practicing is bring your family and friends to a night of prophecy and blessing. So you bring your family and friends and your children there to receive a prophetic word. And sometimes that word can be damaging because people are practicing. Like you said, we need to be practicing practice on each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll practice on each other where we're not worried about what's going to be said. And again, what it is said is also, you know, practicing on somebody who's mature in this area, because if they're given a word, a mature person will take that word and they'll run it through that litmus test that Scripture tells us. They won't just take it and run with it going, oh, this is what God has for me, and then be let down because it doesn't come true.
And in that, when you're around the mature person, the mature prophet, as Kirvin was describing earlier, I hope that they wouldn't shy away from asking the person, was that out of your heart to encourage the other person? Was that what you heard from God? Because even when Jeremiah was tested by God, God just didn't say, I put my words in your mouth and left it. He tested him. Mm-hmm. Show me what you see. Tell me what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And then when God tested him a few times and Jeremiah proved to be hearing him correctly, okay, now you know what to do. Now go.
Yeah.
And I think that's missing in our practice of it. And I think this is where Sean Bowles gets a bad name. Because what we hear from him are just, yes, he's the smartphone prophet. He's been named that. Whenever I've heard him, he's been speaking on behalf of the dead, which is a huge red flag for me.
Yeah, you know, that's not safe.
But then we have people, and we're going to play Kirvin's clip. The Kirvin believes that Sean Bowles' teaching, which we don't see many clips on, that his teaching is accurate. And I think you may agree with me, probably Kirvin would disagree, that there's the teaching. His teaching may be accurate, but his application is misleading.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's given his words right away, like popcorn. Which is my thing with Sean Bowles, that he comes across to me as more of a psychic than a prophet. The thing that I love about different points of view is that it invites a conversation where we can challenge one another without getting offended and maybe give each other something else to think about.
I've actually been, when I went to Bethel, visited there, Sean Bowles was one of the speakers.
Mm.
And I listened to his teaching about words of knowledge, and then he moved into it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely solid, Ken, in terms of his approach to it, yeah. His cautions around it, because he knew there would be people in the audience that would seek the gift of the word of knowledge. And they might receive it from Holy Spirit, or they might receive something from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was careful to teach well on that. And then he went into demonstrating it. And, you know, he was, you know, his approach was, I'm receiving a word from the Lord, and there is someone in this room. And then he went on to describe it.
Yeah.
And inevitably, he was bang on. He didn't do what some of those word of faith healer guys you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we're here, we're going to deal with people that have shoulder pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sensing that someone over here has pain in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like casting a fishing net out.
Yeah.
We're going to catch fish, but we're not going to catch a specific fish.
Right.
And you know, to me, that's dangerous stuff.
We're going to leave it there for this segment of our podcast today. I'd like to thank Pastor Kirvin for sharing his insights with us, his teaching, his counsel, and his wisdom. And I can only speak for myself, but sometimes it feels like I'm drinking from a water hose when I listen to him speak, and it's a great thing. You are not going to want to miss upcoming episodes, as we are going to talk about Christians who are sold out for Christ who have same-sex attraction.
Remember, if you enjoy this podcast, we encourage you to share with others. And don't forget to like it and subscribe to it on your favorite podcast player and give us a review. We love 5-star reviews.
But 4.5 will be fine too. Until next time, keep it real, stay safe, and God bless.